I'm not for sure, but if you might be noticed when you were coming in, there were some tables set up with objects on them. Those objects are cupcakes, I understand. And kind of what it is to get our minds back and geared for our building project. We are so close to completion, and I guess it's in your bulletin how much we need yet to finish up completely. And we're excited about that. And we had Shannon actually came up with this idea, you know, in case I were to get in trouble for it. No. And we really appreciate her thoughtfulness in jogging our minds again for our building fund. And so if you would like to, I've been told, just leave a free will offering. It'll go into the building fund. And then take what you want there. And after the late service, our pastoral staff are hoping it will all be gone. Because if not, it's going to be facing us the rest of the week. You know. And noticing our pastoral staff. Oh, no, forget. I won't say that. Pat Linger said that they're going to have a concert at their place out there at ISME this week, and Buddy Davis is here with us this morning in our service. Buddy, would you stand up so they can see you? You were here before. You performed. And you know, when I shook hands with you, I didn't know that's who you were. And Lord bless you as you perform and minister tonight there at ISME. And so that's at 7 o'clock right tonight there at ISME. And looking forward to it. I know that they really enjoyed Buddy when he was here. If I remember right, my wife and I were in Bozeman celebrating a second or first birthday, I forget, of our granddaughter that time. Also, you know, in our town, you've heard of the news how that there's a lot of flu going around. Some of the classes have over 20% of their students home with the flu. And so I've been using a lot of this here, stuff here. Today I've used a lot of this here stuff here. You know, we set a bottle of it down there in the vestibule, which we would encourage you to use too. And because of this, you know, I shook hands with you as you came in, and I washed my hands a number of times again so I wouldn't pass on anything. But I will not be shaking hands at the end of the service. I'll be out there, you know, in the entryway looking at cupcakes like the rest of us. But we would encourage you to use this, and it'd be great. You know, we are blessed today to have our missionaries from Brazil with us. One of our missionary couples from Brazil, Dave and Kay Griman. Ooh, gee, right here. And I've asked if they would come up and just give us a greeting. And we're going to use some mics here. Herb, black and green. And they also have their display down there. They have a DVD, and you could be able to see that after this service. And I really love this couple. We've known Dave for almost all the time we've been here. He graduated from, was it Big Sky at that time, or was it still Big Sky? And he came, and he was one of our first missionaries as a church that we helped with his support. And then he met Kay, and so we get to help both of them. Bless you.
Well, first of all, we'd like to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Oh, is that on? No, I'm sorry. There we go.
Okay. So we'd like to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the name above all names. It's been my privilege to be associated, acquainted with Jerry and Becky through these years. And it's very special because I'm from Glendive. It's special when we are supported and encouraged and built up by our family and close friends. And we certainly count Jerry and Becky our close friends. We work at the AMI Training Center in Brazil. It's a school working with Indians. We have as many in the last 10 years, 15 years, we've had 28 different tribes come to study at AMI. It's a school where many come without any Portuguese or any training, educational background. We have two programs, one for basic education, first to fourth grade, and for those that have that level can enter into the Bible course. And one of our main objectives is to get our students back out into the villages where they come from with a team to present the gospel to their own people. And this is a highlight of our school year. We've had 66 graduates in the last 14 years. And, you know, we're privileged because we have people that pray for us, that support us and encourage us. And many of these Indians that go back to their villages, they don't have that. And the enemy of our souls is very active. And it's important that we bond together as we serve the Lord, recognizing that we are involved in a spiritual battleground. We have recognized that God is doing a great work. And we work with a number of different mission organizations that work with Indians. And it's so fulfilling to realize that we work together as a team, not as individuals or different mission groups, but as a team to do the Lord's work. And doing that, the Lord Jesus is honored, and fruit is brought to his name. Kay and I have been married for 26 years. I've been in Brazil for 33 years, and Kay has been there for 30. So we're really privileged to be part of your family as some missionaries, and we really appreciate this opportunity to be here. It's a real honor because, believe it or not, in these last 33 or plus years, this is the first time that I'm able to be here at a Sunday morning service.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I count it a real privilege to be here. Thank you very much.
Just a little quick update. We have three children who are, as of last year, are all adults. They're all studying at the Montana Bible College all together. And one of them wants to go back to Brazil as a missionary. And as you look at us, you can also think of our kids who, one just turned 21, one will be 19 next week, and 23 the following week. But just a real quick thing, our students, as Dave mentioned, don't have churches backing them like we have here. We have, I think we'll be in about 11 different churches just here in Montana this month. And they don't have any churches. They might have one church or two church that prays for them. And so when you see us, remember the students, the ones who have come to the ME Training Center. They don't all graduate. Remember the ones who graduated and out into the Indian villages. They need your team. They need you on their team as well. Pray for them because it's a spiritual warfare out there, and Satan is out there just wanting to destroy the ministry, destroy them, and destroy their families. And we just want to encourage you and challenge you to hold them up in prayer because they need it just as much as we do.
And we have some prayer cards available for you at our display in the back between services. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I really have appreciated the times that we've been able to get together. And as we are in the 1 month to live series, I feel the topic that we are going to be talking about today is truly displayed by this couple, and that is learn humility. I believe, as I see this couple here, that they are really a humble a couple wanting to be God's servants. Well, we're going to jump right into our 1 month to live. I trust you're doing good in it. You know, I've heard different people talking about, you know, boy, this is really tough, or man, this is really good, or this is really soul searching. And you know, that's what it was supposed to be able to do for us, is to be able to search us to see how we ought to live as God's people. You know, we come to this, the third principle we'll be talking about today. Last week, remember, we talked about love completely. Love completely. And as we talked about that, I said that that was probably the most important of the four principles that we had there. But as we come to this third principle, I find this probably one of the most difficult ones to do, and that is to learn humbly. Most people, as we think about one life to live, most people who face the end of their lives, I have noticed that they have a remarkable humility. They have to depend on others. They have no longer self-sufficient. They're no longer proud. Yet in their weakness, they have, I believe, discovered a true liberating truth. And it is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where it says, it's one of those difficult passages where Paul, the writer, is struggling with an issue in his own life, and he is absolutely powerless over it. And so he asked God to remove it three times. And here's what God's reply. He says, "My grace is all you need." Isn't that good? "My power works best in weaknesses. So now," Paul says, "I am glad to boast about my weaknesses." So that the what? Oh, we're getting there. So my what? Of Christ can work through me. You know, so that the power of Christ might work through us. You know, that's where we want to get. We want to be able to allow the power of God to work through us. And so if he accomplishes it through my weaknesses, which he does, praise God for that. You know, as we look, we talk about that area of to learn humbly. There were some thoughts that I had, and I was thinking about... you know, the Bible says God's people are called to humble themselves, and so to face the pain of self-examination and confession of sins. This is necessary if we are to experience the blessings of God. And as I was thinking about this, to be able to learn humbly, and there are three ingredients, I believe, in learning humbly. The first, and I'll just give to you this, not on the slide presentation here, before I actually get into the heart of the message. But the first is to know who God is. To know who God is. You know, if we want to, we're learning how to humble ourselves as Jesus learned to humble himself. The Bible tells us that he learned, that he humbled himself. And so if Christ is our example, we have to know who Christ is. We have to know who God is. We have to have that understanding of who God is. Now, as a few weeks ago when Josh McDowell was here, he gave us, he asked us that question. Who is God? Who is God? Well, God's love. Yes, he is. He's love. That is true. The Bible says God is love. You know, and then the question that comes with those people that has this firm in their mind, They say then, but how can a loving God send a person to hell? And a question that comes up so often. How can a loving God send a person to hell? You know, They're asking, as Josh McDowell said, the wrong question, aren't they? They should be asking, how can a holy, just, righteous God allow anyone into his presence? That's the question. How in the world can he? You see, God is holy, God is pure, God is righteous, he is just, and he is also love and merciful. And you can't choose and pick which one you want, because you cause destruction to who God is. And so when you're looking at God, God's love does not negate his holiness, nor his justice, nor his righteousness. You know, and so we come to God and we want to be able to know we have a home in heaven. And God comes to us and says, I have to destroy you then. Because there's not a one of us that is holy, not a one of us that is pure, not a one of us is righteous. And therefore, when we come to God, he has to destroy us. But in his love and his mercy and his grace, he sent his son down here to die. John the Baptist said of Jesus, he said, when he saw Jesus coming to be baptized, he said, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now that in the Greek, there are a number of terms used for lamb. The term that John the Baptist used here when he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The word lamb there is the word in the Greek that means the sacrificial lamb. He is the sacrificial lamb. He came as a sacrifice for the likes of you and I. And we see that in the Old Testament, that the Messiah would come as a lamb, as we see in Isaiah 53. He was as a lamb sent to the slaughter, and he opened up not his mouth. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. The Lord laid upon the Lamb of God the sin, the iniquity of us all. And so we have to know who God is. He is a loving God, yes. He is a holy, righteous, pure God as well. And he will not violate who he is for the sake of one or the other. He is who he is. And, you know, therefore, he desires that we be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is pure, holy, righteous, just, loving, grace, mercy. You know, so we are to be coming that. We are to be transformed, the word is used in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, into the image of Jesus Christ. And so we need to know who God is. Not our self-conceived ideas of what we want God to be and we choose to pick. No, we need to know who he is. And secondly, we need to be able to be submissive to God, the Bible says in James chapter 4. It says, therefore submit to God. Now, when we talk about submit, that means to put ourselves under the authority of another. And so what the Bible tells us to do if we are going to walk humbly is we're going to put ourselves under the authority of Jesus Christ. We're going to put ourselves under the authority of God in our lives. And then it goes on and says, and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, it's interesting because as we see in our world today, there's a lot of evil. And we often will pinpoint it and say, it's the devil's fault. That ornery little devil, you know. It is the devil's fault. But, you know, if you look around at the world today, we see that there is a lot of evil that is going on. And I think Satan gets a lot of credit that he doesn't really deserve. You know, the world around us wants us to live as it lives. You know, it's a self-centered, proud world that we live in. And the Christian church today gets caught up in that same self-pride and me first, and so forth. You know, Beck and I were watching a program we wanted to watch, and when it came time for our commercial, you know, oh, man, there were so many commercials. Next time it came up, I said, I'm going to count how many commercials there are on before it actually goes ahead and shows what we are here watching. And you know how many? I don't know if you've ever counted them. That one time, there were 11 commercials telling you what you needed, telling you, you got to have this. Really pulling, the world today is pulling you, and you know, the boob tube in your living room or in your family room, it is projecting to you the world, self, you deserve it. If you desire, go for it, you know. That's one of the evils we have to resist, people. We have to resist. You know, then there truly is a Satan. He's not like you saw in the paper for Halloween, that display with the little red devil with horns. He's not like that at all. He comes so deceptive. I mean, if you saw something like that, you'd go, oh, he's the devil, you know. That's the devil. I got to stay away from him. No, he comes as an angel of light. He comes to deceive. He twists the word of God. It sounds so good. There's a little bit of truth. So much lie, you know. We need to resist. We need to know how to resist. If we want to walk humbly before our God, we need to, in other words, know what the word of God says. And so he says to us to submit, to put ourselves under the control of God and learn to resist that I-ism, me, you know, I want this. I desire this, you know. And we need to resist the onslaught of the world's pressure for us to transform ourselves into their image rather than in the image of Jesus Christ. And then we need to be able to resist Satan as well. And then it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. When you draw near to God, amazing things happen. Because when I begin to draw nearer to God, whoa, the Spirit of God within me all of a sudden shows me things in my life I don't like. And it and he shows me that because God doesn't like it either. And he wants me to be able to confess that and get rid of that in my life. He wants me cleaned. And then he purified your hearts. And then it says in verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will crush you. Just checking to see if you're alive here today, people. And boy, half of us are dead. I thought I'd going to have to call Stevenson's here for a while. No. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will do what? He'll lift you up. Say that together. Lift you up. That's what God is wanting to do. Lift you up. Ah, the way to be lifted up is the way down. Down on our knees to where God can be able to be God of our lives, and we put ourselves under his authority. Okay, having said that, that's that was absolutely free today. You know, as we come into to humble ourselves, God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. The power of Christ. You know, as God's people, when we've accepted Christ into our life, I mean, he comes because he wants to have that love relationship with us. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, you know what he does? He puts his power, as Ephesians 1:18 says, we have that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Do you think that's power? Hey, that is power. That is power. He puts that in you. You have that power of God within you. Now, I always wanted a Corvette. So I bought one I could afford. You know, pretend like this is a real one. And it's big. Okay? You know, man, it has a powerful engine in there. It has a powerful engine. Now, suppose a guy got into this and he turned the key on and run, 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 run. You know, you see little boys do that. Man, that is power. Okay, I got it in there and it's powerful. It's on. It's there. Let's go. And he just sits there. It doesn't go nowhere. What is wrong with my car? It's not going anywhere. Man, I could hear it purring. That is great, but it's not going anywhere. And it won't go anywhere. Should I get out and push it? And I think a lot of Christians have that mentality. You know? We have the power of God residing within our lives. And we're not going anywhere. Is it the power's fault? No. And it won't go anywhere until we put it in gear. See, that's what that little shift is for. And you pop that clutch and zoom it goes, you know? God is wanting us to experience His power. And that power comes as we learn how to humble ourselves under His authority in our life. As we see, I've had people come that said, you know, there's they got the engine, you know, they haven't put it in gear yet. They said, you know, I would really, I have this dream or I have this vision of what God can do. Well, why haven't you done anything? Well, what happens if I fail? And I say, if, don't worry about the if because you will fail. You know, if we're going to be doing anything in our lives that amounts to anything, there will be times of failure in our lives. We will fail. Don't worry about the if. You will fail at times as you go along in your journey with the Lord. We will fail. You know, there is an example of that in the Scripture. Here was a man that was a champion for Jesus Christ, one of the greatest of all times. His name was Simon Peter. It teaches us that he teaches us by his example how to learn humbly. We see how that he learned some pretty important lessons in his life, and we're just going to bring out three of those lessons that he learned. If you apply these to your life, you can be able to have the power to begin again in your life, to go forward. Put it in gear. We can have that fresh start. The first lesson, then, to learn humility is I learn to learn from my losses. I learn from my losses. I've got to learn from my losses. You know, we've got to learn from those failures so that we can move on. Move on in our life with the Lord. Simon Peter was one of the original members of Christ's team. In fact, Jesus changed Simon Peter's name, to Peter, which means rock. And he said, "You're going to be the captain of this team. I'm going to build the whole team on you. You're the rock." And he said, you're going to be a champion. Now, what happened next is that Peter became overconfident. He's kind of like us. He became proud. And the night that Jesus gathered all his disciples together, he said to them, "You're all this night going to crash." I mean, it's not going to be just a little fender bumper, you know. You are going to crash. A major crash. Captain comes and says of the team, "Not me. No. I'm the champion. I'm the rock. You gave me another name. I won't, no matter what. I'm going to stay on course. I'm going to stay in gear And no matter what happens, you could depend upon me. Major crash was just around the corner for Peter, wasn't it? We know that very night that he turned around and he denied Jesus Christ, denied even knowing who he was. Denied even knowing him. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 22, after that third time. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside. Peter went outside and he wept bitterly. People, that's a picture of deep regret. Of deep regret. Jesus looked at him. Just looked at him. And I believe he looked at him with compassion. He looked right into Peter's heart and he saw the regret. He saw the guilt. He saw the shame. And some of you right here today, you're right and maybe in the middle of a crash. Maybe it's a crash in your marriage, maybe in your family, maybe in your business, maybe it's an emotional crash. But you're right there in the middle of it. And Jesus doesn't have to say a word to you. He looks at you and he sees right into your heart. And he sees the guilt and the regret and the shame that's there. But he does something. But he does say something to you. And this is important. He says to you today, because of the power of the cross, because of the power of the cross, failure is never final. Failure, people, get that. I wished I could be able to engrave that in your minds and your hearts. Failure is never final because of the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. How important that is. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful, but if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. If we confess our mistakes, if we confess our sins, God's faithful. He will forgive us. You know, the problem with this is the blame game. Oh, that wasn't my fault. You know that mate you gave me? You know that those kids you gave me? You know those parents? I didn't even choose them. You gave them to me, Lord. You know that boss? That teacher? You know the situation? It's everybody's fault but mine. And that's what we need to begin to understand. As God's people, we need to be able to take responsibility for our failures. We need to take responsibility for our failures. In order to learn humbly, we need to begin to look in the mirror and take responsibility. And then we need to be able to let go of our guilt. When we come to God and confess our sins, He forgives us. And the Bible says He remembers them no more. The hardest person to forgive is ourselves. We need to be able to let go of that guilt that keeps us in neutral and out of gear. After we see some still feel like a failure, that they have fallen and that God surely cannot use me. There's no way God could use me. I failed so miserably. You know, I don't even want to go into the presence of God because I feel so terrible, so guilty. I have that regret. I have that shame. God can't use the likes of me. Let us read Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. After the resurrection, after Christ rose from the dead, the angel was at the tomb. And look what the angel said. It said, but go tell his disciples and who? Is that a fair? And who?
Peter.
There you go. Thank you. Tell Peter. I love that. He is going ahead of you. Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him just as he told you. The angel said, he is alive. Jesus is alive. He's rose from the grave. And he is not here. You need to go tell your disciples he is alive. And by the way, Jesus wanted to make sure you tell Peter. Tell Peter. I like that. Remember, Peter is still included. He's still one of the disciples. The angel said, don't forget Peter. You see, Jesus knew that Peter was totally broken at this point. And he felt like God would never be able to use him again. He felt like he had completely blown it and his life was over. The race for him was over. Yet Christ wanted Peter to know how precious, what a compassionate God we have. The race is not over, Peter. I still have great things for you. I still want to use you. And today God says to you, I want to give you the power to begin again. I have a great plan for you. I have a race for you to run. And that's my responsibility. God forgives me through the power of the cross. I have to let go of that guilt. And I have to be able to see God's vision and goal for me for the future. You see what guilt does? Guilt blinds me to God's vision for me. Guilt blinds me to what God wants me to become. And so, time's gone. So, the first thing I have to do is to learn humility is to learn from my losses. And the second thing is that I have to surrender to God's strength. I have to surrender to God's strength. I have to rev up the engine of God's power. To learn humility, I need God's power. I can't change in my own strength. Look at what Jesus said in Luke 9. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Today's self-help books said, you've got to look inside yourself, you know. You know, immediately when I hear that, I think of somebody cutting me over, and I don't want to look inside of myself at all. And they said, you gotta do what you want to do. You gotta do your desire. You gotta go for it. Look inside yourself, and you will be content. You know, God's way is just opposite, isn't it? God says, you look inside yourself, you're not going to see anything there that's very pretty. He said, the very best you can do inside yourself stinks. And so he tells us, look up. And look at him. He's the one that created you. He's the one that has a plan and a purpose for you. Why are you looking someplace else? You look up and see what he has planned for you. Experience his strength. So we see God's way is just opposite of the world's way. It's not to satisfy myself, but rather it is to deny myself. Peter denied Christ, and what happened? He crashed. When you refuse to deny yourself, you also will crash. But when he learned to deny himself, he again became a champion for God. See, God's wanting champions. The way to do that is to learn humility. To learn to walk under the authority of the living God. What does it mean to take up our cross daily? People, it can mean nothing else but to die to myself. I need to die to myself. I need to die to my desires and want God's desires. I need to be able to put God first in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my whatever God has given for me to do. I need God first in it all. God has to be first in my life. Maybe you are here today and you feel like you've crashed. Maybe you're here today and feeling, oh, gee, it seems like I went and I put it in gear and it go, you know, I want it to go, you know, I want it to go smooth. A lot of times it's because we put it in gear and then we take it out. You know, put it in gear and we take it out. We're not operating under the power constantly of the living God who resides within us. maybe it's time for you to be able to take it and put it in gear and be able to say, God, okay, I feel like a total failure, and there's times that I do. But God, I know you said you could nevertheless use the likes of me. Father, I take responsibility for my failures. It was my fault. Forgive me, Lord. I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you. Forgive me, Lord. And you know what? He does. He forgives you if you're serious with him. And then let go of that guilt. Let go of that guilt and surrender to him. God is waiting. God is more desirous of using his power in your life than you are of allowing that power to be used in your life. God is ready to empower each and every one of us today. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him who is the life? Do you know him who is the way, the truth, and the life? Do you know him today? Have you been acquainted with him? Are you on a daily basis with him? You know, I need to die every day. When I get up in the morning, you know, if I don't have my time with God, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to crash. I'm going to crash. You are too. If you are seriously submitting yourself under the authority of God, you need to be able to die daily, the Bible says. Are you willing to step out, take your hand on that knob of that vehicle of your life, and put it in gear, put it in the power of God, and let him use you as he wants to be used in your life? Learn humbly to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. He will use you mightily for his name's sake. Father God, thank you again for yourself and for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for how you desire to want to be used of us, to be used in us and through us for your glory and your kingdom's sake. With every head bowed, no one looking around right now, if you are here this morning and you've been walking your life in and of yourself and you haven't turned to God, you know, God loves you so much. He wants you to turn to him this morning. He wants to be able to fill that void in your life that only he can provide. He wants to make your life complete. Will you turn to him today? If you've never invited Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that right where you're seated. In silent prayer, you can lift up your heart before God and invite him to become your Savior. If you would desire, you could pray, if you're sincere with God, this prayer silently in your heart, right where you're seated after me this morning. Heavenly Father, I do know I'm not perfect and I'm not pure. The only way I could become that is by accepting what Jesus Christ has done for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, of going my own way, of doing my own thing. I invite Jesus Christ to come and reside in my life, to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the new life that you give. Help me to walk in that way that is pleasing. If that was the prayer of your heart, we welcome you to God's family. Thank you, Father, for that work of your ministry that you are going to continue to do in and through our hearts and our lives through the living Christ who empowers us to walk under the authority of you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.